The GAA program with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vegas Falchuk with Gian Clark, coming Luke Glasgale and a shocked on the show with me, Tom Comack. As always, with you on a Wednesday night. I hope you all had a very good Christmas. This is our very first program of 2019. Getting used to seeing it already, just the second day in, and we wish you all a very, very happy and peaceful and prosperous and healthy 2019, and hopefully plenty of success enjoyed for everybody involved in the Northwest here in the GAA and indeed in life in general. And well, tonight we're going to look ahead at what the hopes and aspirations are for Northwest counties, obviously Donegal, Derry and Tyrone tonight. And well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat, Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News, and later in the programme we're going to hear as well from Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald and Michael McMullen of the County Derby Post to find out what the mood is in all counties this week, as the new season kicked off last weekend with games in the Dr. McKenna Cup. Indeed, there was a couple of games as well in the McKenna Cup before Christmas as well, but basically the competition got up and running. That's the secondary competition in Ulster, and I suppose everybody's using it for different reasons, mostly for warm up for the Alliance Football League, which starts a little bit earlier this year, actually at the last weekend in the month. So that's not very far away. I think it's just 3 weeks from this weekend. So as always, we're delighted to join us, and hopefully you can stay with us. And as I say, I'm joined by Peter Campbell of the sports editor of the Donegal Democrat People's Press, and by Ryan Ferry. Peter, a very good night to you.
Good night, Tom.
And Ryan as well, good night to you.
Good night, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. You've got to put to bed at this stage, have you? No, you have tomorrow as well.
No, there's plenty left to do yet, Tom.
Tell me, anyway, looking ahead, Peter, I suppose, as we look into 2019 on the back of a, I suppose, modestly successful 2018, winning Ulster and showing promise at club level as well. Quite a lot to look forward to, I suppose, in 2019.
Oh, there is indeed. It probably will be difficult enough to build on what Donegal did in 2018, winning Ulster and, you know, getting to the Super 8s. I suppose the target would be to retain that Ulster title. Not be as easy this time around, given the draw is much tougher draw than they had last year. Very favourable draw, I suppose, last year. But I suppose it's the business end of the championship season that they'll want to target, and they would hope to make the quarterfinals this time around. That will probably be the target for the Declan Bonner and his squad. You know, they just missed out last year, probably a little unlucky in getting a very, very tough group in the Super 8s, having to go to Dublin first time around. And this time, I suppose, by the end of July next year, or beginning of August, they would hope to be in a quarter final, let's say. That would probably be the big target.
Yeah. And obviously as well, probably, Peter, promotion back to Division 1, disappointed again, lost out on the last day at the end of last season, now to be relegated to Division 2.
Yeah, the league will be important as well, and you know, getting back to Division 1 won't be as easy as maybe some people might think. Division 2 can be a real hotbed, and I know they have four home games this time around, which is supposed to be pinning their hopes on those, and possibly the first game away against Clare, that's probably a vital game for them to start on the right foot. You know, but they're going to be hampered a little, you know, the fact that they haven't got the Gidor fellas for the first three games at least. And like, they are big players in the Donegal panel at the moment. So, you know, you won't have the full deck until possibly the end of the league. Maybe they won't have, you know, we would be hoping that Gidor would get to the All-Ireland Club Final, and that would mean that, you know, they would have no Gidor players for, I don't think any, I think there's only one game after the Club Final, that'll be the 24th of March at home to Kildare. That's probably the only game that they might be available for. So, you know, it's going to be a tough league for them. But if they can win their home games, and if they could target that first game away to Clare, I think that probably would probably get them promoted.
Yeah, Ryan Ferry, good night to you as well, and delighted you could join us. I suppose, as well as, and Peter touched on it there, there's a lot to look forward to, not just for Donegal, I suppose, and obviously they got the McKenna Cup up and running last week with a win over Queens. What did you make of that win over Queens? Because it was a very experimental Donegal.
Yeah, Tom, I think it's very difficult to read too much into it because Queens, you know, they wouldn't be one of the strongest university sides in it. You know, really, they're probably unlikely to get to the latter stages of the Sigerson even. So, you know, I think it's hard to read too much into it. They were much more emphatic victors last year, as it turned out. With, you know, they still won by 10 points very comfortably at the weekend, I suppose. It was interesting to see Jason McGee and Owen McHugh back in the Donegal shirt. And they're two men that, you know, if they can manage to stay injury-free, I'm sure they'll be big, big additions to the team this year. I thought Keelan McGonigal at wing forward had a good outing as well. And he had a very strong end to the season with Buncrana. So, you know, I think there were encouraging signs for Declan Bonner, but I would say there were also probably a few worrying signs. You know, the full back line at times came on under pressure, and you know, like there'll be a much stiffer test ahead for the full back line going forward.
Yeah, and the thing that struck me about last weekend is actually that Declan Bonner had 30 players togged out, and as Peter mentioned there, they were without, I think it's actually six Guidormin are now in the panel, and you had Michael Murphy, Ryan McHugh, Frank Midlin, Mark McHugh, Patrick McBearty all missing as well, and we've heard of Donegal in the past struggling to get numbers for the McKenna Cup, but that was another courage thing, I'm sure, last week.
Yeah, and I think you could add Leo McLoon and Owen Bangalore to that list as well, Tom. So, you know, to be fair, I would say you could have named another 15 on Sunday that would have been a very, very good team. Like, so, you know, there is going to be huge strength and depth. You know, that looks very good on paper, I suppose, but the real test of strength and depth is when you need it, probably, in what could be a big game down the line, maybe the Super 8s, you know. And I suppose last year, maybe people in Donegal would have felt that maybe we didn't have quite that strength and depth when it really counted in comparison with the likes of Dublin and Tyrone. So, you know, hopefully those four or five new players that come into it this year can really make an impression. And I'm sure there will be players targeting the league, you know, the early stages of the league when the Guidor lads and Steve McMenamin possibly won't be available, and there could be opportunities in those first three games in particular.
And what do you think Declan will be looking for from the McKenna Cup?
Well, you know, I would say from the McKenna Cup, he'll probably be looking for good competitive tests. I would imagine, Tom, that he'll be looking to get to the semi-finals, because, you know, I know this time last year there were a lot of postponements and games pushed back, but if the weather would be to hold and Donegal didn't make it out of the group, they would have 2.5 weeks without a competitive game before the league, and I don't know if that would be ideal either. So I would imagine that he'd probably like the team to get to the semi-final anyway, and maybe try and, you know, unearth one or two players that he can throw into that first game down in Ennis and hold their own.
And Peter, I'm sure as well the extra games in the McKenna Cup, it'd be useful from the point of view he'd want to bring the like of Michael Murphy, Frank Midlen, all those guys back in, I'm sure, as well, because they'll need game time ahead of the league.
Yeah, I think that's the way it panned out last year when he got to the semi-final stage. I think maybe Patrick McBearty, Ryan McHugh, players like that came back in for the semi-final, and they won that semi-final on the back of that. But I suppose one of the big things, I suppose, maybe for Declan Bonner and for all team managers going forward, it will be the rule changes as well, and whether they'll be reviewed in the middle of January. It's very uncertain at the moment, and it was very difficult for managers. I think most of them would rather, especially Declan Bonner, would rather if they weren't there at all. But, you know, most of them, I'd say most of the rule changes will stay. But it's difficult in the fact that they don't really know what they're planning for at the moment until the review takes place. So that's going to be a big factor, I suppose, in the preparation.
And what is the situation? The review at the end of the subsidiary competitions like the McKenna Cup, the McGrath Cup, the Burn Cup, is it? Or?
Yeah, I think there's a special Central Council meeting in the middle of January, sometime after the provincial competitions are almost complete, and they're going to decide whether, you know, they're going to review how the rule changes were perceived, and I suppose there'll be an input from delegates and from, I presume, managers will be talking to their county delegates. And, you know, the one that seems to be causing the most discussion is the hand pass. You know, most county managers are up in arms, and I'd say it must be difficult for the players as well, because you know, they get into a position going forward and they end up with two quick hand passes, and then they don't know what to do with the next one, so and maybe a goal on, and they have to go, the third hand pass has been taken, and they have to try and go and take a short with the foot then, when it may not be on, but another hand pass may create a goal. So I wouldn't be surprised if it is changed in some way. I don't know how they can change it and keep it. It possibly, but the other changes, you know, the managers are going to have to plan for those as well. And I would reckon that all the other changes will probably stay. Yeah. The one that will I suppose be up for debate will be the three hand pass.
Declan Bonner certainly would seem to be pinning his hopes that it will go, because he has rubbished it and they're not taking any great interest in it, or not even practicing it all that much in training, or taking note of it, according to him and some of the players.
Yeah, it does seem to be the way of a lot of inter-county managers. I know, you know, there was a challenge match played before Christmas in Navan between Dublin and Meath, and they actually played under the old rules. Now, whether Dublin and Meath knew something, I do not know. But it was very strange that weekend, in that Meath played an O'Byrne Cup game the day before and played it under the new rules, which they had to under the O'Byrne Cup rules. Yet they played the challenge match against Dublin under the old rules. So, you know, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But I would reckon that the hand pass rule will be up for review.
Yeah, though, I think the decision was taken at the time, and I know they came in for criticism. I think the decision of the Central Council at the time was that they were to be experimented in the league as well. And I know from the past, the GAO felt that maybe was it the sin bin or something got a yes, a short shift, yeah, by the opposition to managers, so they might be a little bit reluctant to go totally on the word of managers, you know.
Oh, they may stick their heels in as well and just and say this is
no better organisation.
Well, if they do, it's going to make it you know, for teams that haven't planned for it, it's going to make it even more difficult.
Yeah. Anyway, leave it there with Peter Campbell for a moment, and we mentioned Donegal relegated to Division 2, and obviously Declan Bonner will be hoping get back up to Division 1 and certainly be in the running towards the end of the season. Certainly, that's very much the case in Derry, who have found themselves in Division 4 after a succession of relegations in recent years. Very hard to understand how it's happened, given all the success they have enjoyed at underage level in recent years in particular. But they're hoping to bounce back this year, as Michael McMullen was telling me earlier this evening of the County Derry Post.
Well, Michael, first of all, delighted you could join us, and a very happy new year to you and all Derry GAA followers. And I suppose the question on everybody's lips inside and outside Derry is, how is the good ship Derry as we face into 2019?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a very important year, Tom, because as everybody knows, Derry's in Division 4 and it's not where we want to be. And we've got Tyrone in the Championship, but you know, for me, the only currency this year is getting promotion. But it won't be as easy as everybody thinks. You know, it's well documented, 4 Ulster minor final appearances, an under-20 title, a very vibrant club scene, vibrant school scene. So it all points to improvement. But the bottom line is, you've 7 league games inside a couple of months, and it's all about momentum. And it's going to be a tough battle. The tools are there to get promoted, Tom, but it's hitting the ground running, and the away game to Antrim first on the 27th of January is an absolutely massive game, especially with the Bailen Derby game. And Derry are the team in the league who everybody will want to beat, because of, you know, they would be seen to be the strongest team in the division. So there's that aspect to it as well.
Damien McAuleen back as manager into his second year. Has he made any changes?
Yeah, well, he's made one change to his management team. He has brought in Kieran Mina, a former All-Ireland under-21 and minor winner with Tyrone. He teaches in St. Columb's Jipperstown and would know a lot of the players very well through schools, So that's been the change to the management team. From a playing point of view, it's quite staggering, actually. From the match day panel that was beaten by Kildare last year, there's 15 new players that are on the panel at the moment, which means it's very hard to get continuity. But, Tom, the thing about it is this year, all the players are there from the start. Last year it was the St Neil boys will be back and things will happen or whatever. So now this year there's a wee bit more continuity. Mark Lynch is gone, which is a huge loss experience-wise.
Mark has retired.
Yeah, he is retired. An absolute brilliant servant for Derry and a man that you would absolutely love in this situation, but he has obviously called time. James Keat and Sean Leo have stepped away.
That's Sean Leo McGoldrick, yeah.
Yeah, Sean Leo McGoldrick. And actually his brother Liam, who was a tour of strength for Coleraine. He was probably Coleraine's player of the championship for me. Him and Rory Mooney have went travelling. So there's no representatives from the county champions this year, which is a wee bit bizarre. But to balance against that, he's brought in a lot of youth. You know, Damien obviously has been there through the underage conveyor belt. So he's brought in a lot of those players into the team. There's been a few recalls. Ryan Bell and Gareth McKinnon are both back in the panel. Goalkeeper Thomas Mallon's back. He has brought in Sammy Bradley from Slotnail, has joined the panel. So there's a wee bit more experience to it this year. But for me, that's going to be the most important factor, because most people are going to look at Division 4 and think Derry's going to get out of it. It's a dogfight. Hmm. 7 league games, 2 months, and the away game against Antrim, as I said, is huge. But at the end of the campaign, Derry are at home to, as far as I can remember, they're at home to Leitrim and Wexford in the last few games. So if they are in a decent situation, they're at home. You know, so hopefully maybe by that stage there could be momentum built up and that would give them a chance. But
maybe.
I just really hope that that Derry can start, you know, lifting out of Division 4, because I've done a few articles over this past few years about how dominant the club scene is, the school scene. You know, Derry have too much quality not to be in the second or first tier of football's, you know, ladder, but it is what it is. And it's up to everybody to sort of to pull in together and start moving.
Michael, thanks again as always for joining us. I know that we'll be talking to you in the course of the year.
Not a problem, Tom. Happy New Year to yourself.
The GAA program with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Station Roundabout Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Fáilte Ash, good evening, Clare, with me, Tom Comack, as always, until 9 o'clock. Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat and Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News are still with me. And, well, we're looking ahead to the season ahead and what are the hopes and expectations for Donegal and what Donegal, Derry and Tyrone followers may hope to expect in 2019. Peter, it's maybe before we look at where Donegal is going, still quite a bit to look forward to on the club scene. 2018 was a good one for Donegal clubs in Ulster. Gweedore looking to an All-Ireland semi-final at senior level. Red Hughes looking to an All-Ireland junior semi-final.
Yeah, it's been probably the best year ever for clubs. And I see where Gweedore had their annual dinner dance at the weekend, and you know they had quite a lot to celebrate, winning the double in Donegal, one in Ulster under 21, and one in Ulster senior. Like, you know, you couldn't make it up. It was a dream year for them, and for Red Hughes to do what they did, you know, and they were up against it in nearly every match, and they came back. And they kept winning their games, and even in the All-Ireland quarterfinal, they had to do it the hard way as well. So, you know, they'll really look forward to their... they'll be out first in January, I think January the 20th maybe, in Ballinamore, where they play Eastkay. They'll really be looking forward to that, and they would love to be in that junior final and get to Croke Park.
Yeah, the prize is a big one now, a day out in Croke Park.
Yeah, massive, I suppose. Niamh Colmkill lost out last year. But, you know, Red Shoes have a fighting quality and, you know, it'll take a very, very good team to beat them. And, you know, wouldn't it be brilliant to have both our teams playing their finals in Croke Park this year? Mm. Obviously, if Gidor can get through against Corrifin, they'll have a St Patrick's Day date in the capital. And, you know, there's nothing better for a club than to be representing your county and your province in an All-Ireland club final.
Yeah, and that's about to lift club football in the county too, isn't it?
Well, it has, because, you know, they're going to be the team to beat now. We thought last year that, you know, Kilcar had done so well and they ran Slough Neil so close in that Ulster club game and then just came up short. And then they were the team to beat. And unfortunately, I suppose they lost Patrick McBurty, and that was a big loss to both Kilcar and Donegal last year. Probably the reason why we didn't make it out of the Super 8s. And then Kilcar lost Ryan McHugh to injury as well. So, you know, if they have all their big guns back and they have Owen McHugh back from the US now, they will be thinking that they can put it up to Gidor next year. So certainly it augurs well for the club scene in the county.
We are playing in Division 1 of the Alliance Football League, and of course they're in their Ulster title to Donegal. Well, not to Donegal last year, lost surprisingly in the first round to Monaghan in Ulster, but they still made it all the way to the All-Ireland final where they went down to Dublin. Suppose the only team that really gave Dublin something of a game last year. I'm delighted to see him joined by Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald, and I suppose, well, nothing but short of getting back to Croke Park again on All-Ireland final day will do in Tyrone this year. Alan?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that, Tom, and certainly on the basis of last year has definitely raised expectations that would be the case. But I would add a wee note of caution to that, in the sense that while last year's progress was certainly very hard earned, there were occasions during the year when maybe it didn't look likely, especially against Monaghan after the Monaghan game in the Ulster Championship, when Tyrone obviously lost, and then against Meath in the first round of the qualifiers when they came within a late point from Cathal McShane, an equaliser, to stay in the Championship. And I suppose those are the small margins that can make such a massive difference on the big days. And the secret, I suppose, is in terms of getting through the provincial championships, so that you make your way through to the Super 8s with just a little bit less uncertainty in terms of the draw. And I think Tyrone this year will aim to go through the, even though obviously the qualifiers has been very good to them over the years, I think they'll aim to go through the front door, as it were, and get to the Super 8s again via an Ulster championship win.
Mickey Hart back for how many years? I'm beginning to lose count at this stage. What is it, 14, 15, 16?
Well, his first year was 2003, so I think this will be his 16th year in charge, which is certainly the longest of any Tyrone manager, and maybe the longest of any manager in Ulster.
Well, bar Brian Cody, I think, in hurling.
Bar Brian Cody in hurling, and I suppose maybe Mick O'Dwyer with Kerry back in the 70s and 80s, but even then they wouldn't have done more than 14 or 15 years. So I suppose it just shows that consistency is a massive factor, I think, because, you know, I look back and say the experience that Armagh had after winning their All-Ireland, and Michael was on about Derry after, you know, this year, and after they won their All-Ireland, within 3 or 4 years, both counties had lost their manager. And I think that has maybe been that consistency has been a positive factor for Tyrone. So, you know, and he has brought in a few new players obviously this year to try and freshen things up and maybe add a wee bit of bite to the forward line, especially with the likes of Kyle Coney and Darren McCurry and a certain Dara Canavan as well.
Yeah, Kyle Coney, an interesting one, had opted out for a few years or had fallen away from the scene, but is back, and, well, reading reports from the McKenna Cup, he's made his mark already.
He has, and one of the big things, I think, in terms of Kyle's return was his performances for Arbaugh in the club championship this year, and I think that really maybe showed how talented a footballer he still remains. Like, we were all aware of his of his undoubted prowess when he was a minor, and then when he was brought into the senior panel at the start of this decade, when he would only have been 21 or 22. And I suppose maybe there was a certain degree of pressure on him at that time, and maybe that pressure has eased a bit, and the same expectations aren't there, and as a result he's maybe a wee bit freer to be able to express himself that bit more, and as a result make a bigger impact.
Anyway, thanks a million, Alan. Look forward to talking to you in the course of the year as well, and thanks for joining us tonight. Ryan Ferry, just quickly before we go, in terms of Donegal, obviously a new coach in Stephen Rockford, the former Mayo manager, very evident and very prominent last week in the warm-up and in the preparations.
Yeah, he was, and I was down at the match for Paddy Fenny down in Downings, and he was just in front of me, and it was very clear that he wants the ball kicked in nice and early, Tom, which is always a good sign for the traditionalists. It'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table when the big games come around in the championship. You know, he has huge wealth of experience there, you know, preparing a team for two All Ireland finals in a row. So, you know, I think it's a huge coup for Donegal to get him in, and I'm very interested to see how it develops over the summer months.
And Peter, finally with you, if you were to mention one or two new players that you would expect to see coming through in 2019.
Well, I'm looking forward to Michael Langan building on what he did last year. I think he's a huge player, a big man. I think he has huge potential with Donegal. I would like to see the injured players back. Owen Bongaller, as Ryan referred to earlier, Patty McBurty and Ryan McHugh, like those are three quality players. We need them back on the field as well. But I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, probably Jason McGee as well, if he can recapture the form he had as a minor. Niall O'Donnell may take a little bit more time, has the talent, but we'd like to see him come making that big breakthrough as well. But, you know, we're hearing of a young Canavan coming through in Tyrone. Hopefully we'll have our own Canavan coming through in Donegal.
That's the voice of Peter Campbell. He's up one of the final word tonight on the GAA programme. From me, Tom Cormack, from Jimmy Stafford and Sound, Gugian Shocked and Johogan Slonagal Bannock.